Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
This morning, again, we're looking at what can I learn from somebody else and what's going on. And there was a... We're going to talk about hypocrisy. There's one thing I've learned over the years. I don't know, I guess it's just mainly Christians, non-Christians, like, we love the term hypocrite. Because we always think it exempts us. And it's so easy to call somebody that without understanding what it really is. And so we're going to look at somebody in the Bible today who was being a hypocrite and had to be called on it. Any guesses? No? Peter. Let me kind of read it to you just so you'll kind of get the text of it and understand what's going on. It's found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. When Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. Now, you know Paul's writing this.
Yes.
Now, let me just make sure you understand something. All throughout the New Testament, there was always a tension between the Jews and the Gentiles. Don't think that ever got resolved. It was there the whole time. And basically, they had to call a meeting one time. You know, don't think church problems are new. They're not. Because whenever you got two or three people together,
you got a problem.
You can have two or three churches if you want them. And we have this powwow of these apostles who had to gather together, and finally they couldn't even come to an agreement other than, look, you go to your place, I'll go to mine, we'll leave each other alone. And so Paul writes here and says, Peter, you're wrong. He said, when he first arrived, speaking of Peter, he ate with the Gentile Christians who didn't bother with circumcision. But afterward, when some Jewish friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what these legalists would say. Then the other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was influenced to join them in their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the good news, I said to Peter in front of the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you trying to make these Gentiles obey the Jewish laws you abandoned? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. And yet, we Jewish Christians know that we become right with God not by doing what the law commands, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be accepted by God because of our faith in Christ, and not because we've obeyed the law, for no one will ever be saved by obeying the law. So Peter, according to Paul, was acting like a hypocrite. Right? And Paul calls him on it. And we also understand that as he called him on it, Peter had to admit it. He was right. So I want to talk about hypocrisy. I want you to have an understanding of what it is and what it's about, why we do it, how we do it, and what we need to do to not do it. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, hypocrites are people, as you can tell from the story, who live in fear. They're trying to please everybody, but there's always an element of people they want to please more than others. Peter was afraid of being with the Gentiles before what the Jewish people would think of him. And so there was a fear element in this that caused him not to act in a manner that was consistent with what he said he believed. So fear enters into this. In other words, what will others think? Now, hold on to that lightly, because a little later on, I'm going to talk about how you and I have to consider what others think. There's a real tension here in that I have to be a person who's consistent and at the same time consider other people. So there's fear that's involved. The other thing that happens in this story is Peter had now a bad influence. He had a bad influence on the people they were trying to get to quit being so legalistic, right?
Yeah.
In other words, give it up, guys. It's not the law that's going to save you. It's not this, that's not the way it's going to be. You see, hypocrites are never influencers. They're always just copycats. They're always just trying to do what's right. They're always kind of acting, as the term would be, according to how the wind's blowing. They'll just go that way. The other thing about hypocrites, they usually major in minors.
Yeah.
Okay? They usually take things that are small and make them big. They usually blow things out of proportion. And so the other thing we know about them is they want their own way. Now, let me just kind of read this to you. I came across this as I was studying for this. In the times of old Rome, the artists of the day were dedicated to creating beautiful sculptures and pottery and all kinds of things, and you still have them in the museums today. And so history tells us that when an expensive sculpture created of marble would break, the broken part was replaced by wax, which was then painted over to look exactly like the marble it replaced. And so many of the sculptures had been replaced with wax, and they were sold without telling the person, this base, this statue has a flaw in it, and they would just kind of pass it off as being brand new. Kind of what people do today still, right? Okay? So in the Latin language, the words they used were sine, S-I-N-E, which meant without, and cera, C-E-R-A, which meant wax. So they would have to put a sign on it that would say, sincera, without wax. Which word do we get from that?
Sincera.
Well, you're so wise. Okay? So when the person came in and wanted to buy something, they would say, I want a piece of a vase, I want this, sincera. Without wax. And you see, what we are called to be as Christians are people without wax, who are sincere, that there isn't a crack in what we believe according to our behavior. Because if we're not careful what we try to do, we have our flaws, don't we? All of us. And some of you got up early this morning and put on some wax to cover up your flaws. I didn't point anybody out. I didn't say anything, okay? So that we look sincere. But in reality, there's flaws, aren't there? And by the way, when you look at our Christmas picture, would all of you quit saying, my wife looks so young, but I'm not. Yeah, it hurts my feelings if you do that. So, how do we live a life without hypocrisy? Now, we understand there's several words we have for this in our vocabulary. One of them would be integrity. Because what's it saying? It's saying this, simply this. You are the same all the time. Right? In other words, you are the same person here this morning that you are on Friday night, that you are on Thursday morning. And that if someone were to watch your behavior, there would not be a gap between what you say you believe and what you live. Right? And if there is that gap, that is without sincerity or hypocritical. And so you and I have this constant challenge to understand what hypocrisy is about, that we are called to live a life that is consistent all the time. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. How do we do that? Well, let's talk about that a little bit here this morning and kind of get into this. And here's what I need to do. I need to understand that there is a difference between personal preferences and biblical principles. You understand that? Everybody in this room has preferences. You know, I like this kind of music. That's a preference. You try to say, no, this music is more spiritual than that music. No. That's just your preference. In fact, usually if you will tell me what your preference of music is, I can probably tell you how old you are. You know, I'm a kid of the 60s. You kind of know my music, don't you?
Yeah,
you do. So, we have a lot of things that are nothing more than preferences that we try to make principles. So what I have to understand is there's a huge difference between the two. And I cannot make my preferences principles. And I cannot make other people's preferences principles either. Okay? So that means that I have to judge what is it that really matters and what doesn't. You have a question? Everybody has the things that they like above everything else. Now, you might look at what somebody else has a preference for and think, well, that's not spiritual. But are they really being hypocritical? Now, you see, the problem is this. When you're going to judge others by your preferences, everybody will be a hypocrite. Okay? Well, I thought they were like this. Well, that was your thinking, and that was your preference. Got it? Now, that is different than, you know what, there are some things in Scripture that are cut and dry, that are very clear, that I don't need to make a judgment on because the Bible spells it out. That's a principle that everyone needs to live by. And so I can look at people and say, you know what, they're breaking this principle. That's not right. That's not my preference. That's what Scripture says. Now, don't take the Bible, make it back up what you want to believe, and then make it a principle. Okay? Principles are principles for all of us. Principle. There is only one way to be saved. Principle. Doesn't change. Okay? Believe it, it's there. So there are principles that are there that I don't have to try to interpret. They're very clearly spelled out. But there are a whole lot of things, aren't there, that are simply my preferences.
Right. Yeah.
Yes?
They sure like to say, it's our preference.
Yes, they do. Right. Everybody tries to make it a preference when it's not. And so what we have going on in our culture and in church is we have a whole lot of confusion with what's biblical and what's preference. Okay? So that all of us have to understand as we walk with God, God begins to work with us about our preferences. And He begins to shift them and change them. But they're for me. You see, I had to learn a long time ago that what God wants me to do isn't necessarily what He wants everybody else to do. And what God called me to do in some things that I think are wrong for me, I can't make them wrong for everybody else. Because that's God dealing with me. And if I'm not careful, I'll look at someone and say, I would never do that. They call themselves a Christian and they're doing that. Those hypocrites. And you have a lot of that going on, don't you? Some of you, yeah. I know you've never done it, but you know somebody else who has. Correct? And so what I have to be very careful about is that I can't make judgments on people about certain types of behavior because it's nothing more than a preference. And a lot of things in life are preferences. Got it? Good? Questions? Yes?
My thing has always been,
Okay, I'm going to get there. Give me a moment. I know. But see if I answer it here. Okay? If I don't, then bug me again. Okay? Ask me again. Yes? Right. Right. So that I have a responsibility, and again, I'm gonna get there, okay? Let me go on. Since we're pushing in on it, let me hurry up here. The second thing is, I gotta live a life of integrity. So as I understand preferences, and I understand this with other people, I've really gotta look at me. And here's our biggest struggle in our walk with God, to just keep your eyes focused on you and not try to be everybody else's referee. Okay? Well, I saw something. It's none of your business. Well, I think, so what? How are you living up to the standard God has set for you? And are you living it consistently? That, at least for me, that's a full-time job. I don't have a time to critique everybody else. Besides that, when I stand before God, I'm only answerable for me. I'm not answerable for everybody else. And I can't say, but God, what about them? And God says, look, I'm not here to talk about them with you. We're talking about you. And I was trying to talk to you the whole time. So integrity simply means this. The same person I am at church, at work, and at home is consistent. Let me just tell you something. One of the biggest struggles you will have in raising kids as a parent is to be consistent. Because if your kids watch you be one thing at church and then they watch you be another thing at home, they're confused. Who's the real you? If your people that you work with hear you talk about being one thing at church and then watch you be another person at work, they're confused. Which one's real? So you and I need to really give attention to being the same person all the time. If I'm the same person all the time, first of all, I don't have to worry about what I say because I won't be lying. I don't have to cover things up. Secondly, the Bible tells us a double-minded person is unstable in everything they do. And so I become a person who is not stable in my life. I have to be consistent. What I want to look for, what God's looking for with me, is consistency. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. So that what I understand, there's things God's leading me to do, there's ways God wants me to live, and I have to live that in a consistent manner, no matter where I am. Now the problem with us is this. No matter where we're at in life, we always want to break. I want to break from the job, call a vacation. I want to break from the kids. I want to break from the spouse for a while. I need to get away. I want to break from church. Isn't it amazing how we're always wanting to get away? Why do we want to get away? Usually it's because I don't want to act like this anymore. I want to go away and let my hair down. So what we're really saying is I want to get away so I don't have to act consistently. No matter where you go and when you go there, you're the same person all the time. That makes for a stable person. Anybody that doesn't do that is unstable. They've got issues, right? And then we always wonder, well, I'm really trying to live like a Christian. We don't say it, but in the back of your mind, most of the time. And then we wonder why we have struggles. It's that most of the time that comes up and hurts us, isn't it? So we got that. Then, so I have to be that way, and I have to be honest in every area of my life. I have to be willing to be honest with myself about who I am, what I'm doing, and what I'm about. Along with that, then, what I also have to do is I have to care about what God thinks. So that when I have any decision to make about anything, God, are you going to be pleased with this? God, is this right in your sight? God, is this something that honors you? God, is this something that's good for me? Now, again, that's me and God. God doesn't say, no, that's not good for you, and then I can't go and say, well, see, it's not good for me, so therefore you can't do it either. Right? So I have to deal with my personal convictions that are mine and nobody else's. Now the problem is, if you, your convictions get in the way of your other relationships, now you've got issues. See, when people get married, they all have their personal convictions, don't they?
Right.
This is really important to me. Well, it doesn't mean diddly to me. I don't care what you think about that. Now you've got a problem, don't you? So I have to come to that place where, okay, God, I want to do what you think. Now, let me get into this. I also have to care about what others think. I am responsible for that. Now, in this situation, what we find here is Paul have to call out Peter. Peter was doing more than just not eating with them. Okay? There was much more to that. Paul has to get into, you follow his correction to Peter. You're trying to make legalism now an issue with these people. We know that's not true, Peter. So it was much more than just having a meal together that Peter stopped to do. It was more of having to do with, you're trying to preach a gospel to these people that now isn't the gospel. So what I have to do is, are there things in my life that I will not do because I know someone else will be offended by it? Now, here's how we generally look at it. Now, stay with me. We tend to say, can I do this and nobody be offended? In most cases, what you're going to have to say is, will I not do it? You know, usually people don't get offended by you not doing something other than, well, how come you're not going with us to do this? It's in the things we want to do that create the problems most of the time, isn't it? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay? So what I have to be willing to do is, you know what? My life is not lived to my own. I will live a consistent life to honor God, but I'll also live this life to not do something. Well, isn't that being hypocritical? No, there is a difference between hypocrisy and consideration. I will be considerate of others. I don't have to do that. I can let that go. I'm not being a hypocrite at all. Well, I got to do what I feel like I should do. I don't want to be hypocritical. Well, you're not being hypocritical, but you are being very dogmatic, and you're being inconsiderate of others, and that's wrong. Let me read the Corinthian passage to you. 1 Corinthians 10. You say I'm allowed to do anything. Written by Paul, the same guy who just talked to Peter, right? But not everything is helpful. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't think only about your own good. Think of other Christians and what's best for them. Here's what you should do. You may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace. Don't ask whether or not it's been offered to idols, and then your conscience won't be bothered. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a Christian asks you home for dinner, go ahead, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever's offered to you and don't ask any questions about it. Your conscience should not be bothered by this. But suppose someone warns you that this meat has been offered to an idol, don't eat it. Out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. Now, why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or to the church of God. This is the plan I follow too. Notice, I try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what I like or what's best for me, but what's best for them so that they may be saved. Was Paul being a hypocrite?
No.
A few of you said no. The rest of you are sitting there going, right? What was he doing? He's saying, look, my life matters so much, and my love for God matters so much, and what I want for people is so much, that I'm willing to do whatever I need to do so that I don't offend them in what my life is, and I'll be consistent the way I act that way. And so, I will live a life that is considerate of what God wants me to do and live a life of integrity. And I will live that life no matter what happens. And when I'm around other people, I will do everything I can not to be offensive. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes we forget. Again, that's why I said, what does God think? How can I be his example? How can I live this? What do I do? Okay, how can I act in a manner with the people I am with that will best represent God to them? Okay? How can I do that? Now, please hear me. If everybody's... trying to illustrate, and I'm trying to pick something that I can't think of anything. So if everybody's drinking, okay, I'll just drink with them. No, for me, that's a personal conviction. I'm not going against that. That's not right. That's not going to help my influence to them. So that doesn't mean I have to enter into everything they're doing. But it does mean I'm not going to be judgmental, but I am going to set a standard so that I am consistent with who I am. Okay? Ask your question now. Does that answer it? Or?
Pretty much. I mean, I just feel that if we're doing things God's way, that we should just be pleasing in God's sight. That's all I need to worry about. I don't need to worry about what other people are thinking
about.
Okay,
and I would disagree with that. I'm pleasing in God's sight. But according to what Paul writes and tells us, I also have to be considerate of my brother and sister. And there's some things that I can do. He says, eat meat. I can do that. Okay? But you invite me over and say, I really have some issues with this, and I'm a vegetarian, and you're at my house. You know what? I'm not going to sit down and say, where's the meat? Where's the beef? Okay? And if I invite you over, I would be considerate enough to provide something for you that you could eat. Okay? So that I can't say, because I think we got to be careful. We kind of use it sometimes, well, I'm pleasing God and I don't care what anybody else thinks. We can't go there. I know you didn't say that.
I said I don't worry.
Right. And not worrying about it, but still be considerate of it. Right. I don't have to set up night. Oh no, I don't want to be offended. I can't get paranoid about this, but I do need to consider it. Yeah.
Ezekiel 33 about, you know, you're in charge of this, or you're the watchtower. You watch over the city. You blow the trumpet when it's under attack. Where do you draw the line?
Well, and again, I think what we have to understand is that was a specific Old Testament instruction to a prophet about his responsibility before Israel, because that's how God spoke and that's how God moved. Nowadays, it's different. And so I can't be legalistic. And that's what the Bible talks about if we're not careful. What am I doing so that I'm not appearing and acting legalistic?
Right.
Salvation comes through Christ. Now, I am responsible to live the convictions that God has for me, but I can't be legalistic with other people. But I will be considerate. Now, I can't either. The other thing I can't do is, well, okay, I'll be considerate and we'll eat this, but before I don't eat them, I'll make sure they understand why. And when I'm explaining why, I'll make sure I slip in some scripture verses of why they shouldn't eat them, you know, so that they know that what they're doing really shouldn't be done. And, you know, but I'm much better Christian than they are because they're not doing this. And, you know, I'll make sure they understand what I believe. That's your preference. That, or that's something God's dealing with you about.
That's right.
You live it.
That's right.
But don't become for. And see, that's what the Jewish people were always struggling with the Gentiles. oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't eat meat. Oh, you shouldn't eat. You shouldn't eat meat with the sinners. You shouldn't be like this. And what did they do? They tried to make the law something that everybody had to live up to. And all they did was create problems. Yes?
We have to be sensitive to the fact that what might not bother us.
Right.
It might stifle someone else.
Right. So that there's things that might not bother me that others are doing that, okay, that's fine. There might be things that really bother me that others do, and that might not be as good. So what I have to do is this, and here's at the core of this, and here's what we're going to talk about this. Next month we're going to start talking about the Holy Spirit. But here's what we have to understand. It is the Holy Spirit's job to bring conviction to people, not mine.
That's right.
Amen. Okay? It was a great relief to me in ministry to realize my responsibility was to give a message, not to beat people up and not to make them feel guilty. That God is more than able to take His word and apply it to people's lives and deal with them, because that change is much more effective than me just making people feel bad. Now listen to me, that same principle is a principle of raising kids as well. You can force your kids to do anything you want, but that doesn't mean you've changed them. So what you do as a parent is put truth into them. You set the example before them, and then you allow God to help them. Now, anytime you start taking the place of God, you're going to make a mess of things.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're just going to make things bad. So my responsibility, I'm going to live the life. I'm going to be consistent in that. I'm going to be considerate of what God wants me to do and what to please Him. At the same time, I'm going to be considerate of what other people think. And there was a lot of things when I was growing up that I couldn't do because of what other people thought. Okay? Now let me just tell you something. That didn't hurt me. I didn't like it at the time, but it didn't hurt me. Although all of you can tell, I am a little scarred by it all, aren't I?
Oh, yeah, right. Poor baby.
And all the stuff I missed out on and everything.
Poor baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Someplace around 10 years ago, we went out to a restaurant with an unsaved couple, and they ordered drinks, and we were told to wait into the bar area. And I had a drink of water that looked like a glass that you get from a bar.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and they walk up to our table. And I remember my wife saying to you very nicely, you can walk to that table with our set. People are going to think of it. You're drinking. I don't care. Now that's being inconsiderate. Like,
right, that is being inconsiderate.
Yeah.
You should have listened to your wife. Did you listen to your wife? Never mind. But see, it's not paranoid, but it does matter what others think. So I have to be willing to live that kind of life for other people. Now, please understand something. It's a misnomer that we have. The happiest people on the face of the earth are the people who live for others. The most miserable people on the planet are the ones who only live for themselves. Okay? Life is best when you live for something other than you. And so there's this constant awareness that you and I have to have. It's not being hypocritical. It's just who I am. Now, you say, well, you're going to offend anybody? Probably, because we live in a day and time where everybody's offended.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. Now, I'm not going to try to. I'm not going to say, well, that's tough, because that's not what a Christian does, is it?
No.
No.
I think every guy knows that when the house has to be cleaned, you got company coming. And I say, if they don't like my house here, you know, they surely shouldn't be coming just to look at my house and see if it's clean.
Well, I, I can live with that, but can you live with it after the company leaves?
Yeah. The repercussions of that.
Yeah. And we're not talking about cleaning the house then at that point, are we? Now, it's not being hypocritical. If I clean the house, well, this is where we always live. Let them go. It's not being, no, I just want to. Now, it is hypocritical if I want them to think we live like this.
Yeah.
That's hypocritical. It's not hypocritical is I just want the house to be clean. Now, you see the fine line between the two? It comes out of motive, doesn't it? It comes out of heart. And so what I have to do is, again, this consistent person. I'm not living to please others. I'm not trying to do everything they want me to do. I'm living to please God, but I'm going to be that way all the way through. And so that means that I have to be wholly committed to God. The Lord, the things of the world, the things that other people deem important aren't important to me. I want to live a consistent life. That means I will do some things that aren't my choice. But I will do them for the sake of others. And there are a lot of things I'll just do because it's what God wants me to do. But I want to be the same person all the time. Therefore, whenever I'm doing something, here's the thing. I never have to feel guilty about what I'm doing. Because I'm doing it with a right heart. I'm doing it with a desire to honor God. And this is who I am and how I am. And I can do that without guilt. Life is very good to live without guilt. So let me be the same person that I am all the time. Okay, Artie. We do. Right.
So being able
to ask for forgiveness is something that makes other people respect you more. Because people aren't looking for somebody who's perfect. They're looking for someone who's genuine. And that means you see the failures. And when you fail, you're willing to go and deal with it correctly.
Amen.
I just have to clarify that
my house. Way to save face. Way to go. Okay. We need to go. And on that one, we'll go. See you later.
If you'd like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.